We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
A mask mandate on the plane and on the train has been tossed out moments ago in Florida. A federal judge blocked the Biden administration's mandate for airlines and other public transportation, including a nationwide injunction. Now, the administration extended the mask mandate until May 3rd. It is not clear whether an appeal will be filed to allow the mandate to stay in place. We have reached out to the White House for comment.
Bill Hemmer and Fox News making that announcement yesterday. That news broke about 24 hours ago. And since that news has broken, we've seen a lot of the private companies that are in charge of the airlines around the country saying, sorry, this mask mandate's not in place anymore. If you so choose, you may remove your mask. Which means that if you so choose, you may leave your mask on your face. So you get to do what you want to do. It almost sounds American. Let's talk to Eric Schmidt, the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, about this specific issue and a few other things. Eric, welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Great to be with you. I love the intro song. happy afternoon.
Yes, no kidding. Let me ask you about the federal judge who made this ruling, and tell me about the legalese behind how this federal judge got to make this ruling that effectively changes the course of how Americans travel now across the country.
Well, so basically the basis of that decision that the judge entered is similar to the rationale that's been used on other cases that, like the OSHA vaccine mandate that we brought, right, that we won at the Supreme Court on. Missouri was the first state to file. Essentially, the claims are that the agency, you know, doesn't have the power to do it in the first place, or they didn't have, you know, notice and comment period, which means basically they get comments from the public and they weigh the pros and cons, or that it's arbitrary and capricious, all that sort of like legal terminology. But did they follow the right process, and did they weigh this thing appropriately? And the judge said yesterday the CDC did not do that. And so it's a big win, obviously. The mask mandates on planes, you know, trains and other public transportation was kind of one of the last vestiges of this COVID authoritarianism that we've seen over the last couple of years. And, you know, it's like you said in the intro, we're back to a place we always have been, and we should be moving forward and never go back, is people can make these decisions themselves. You want to go on a plane and wear a mask? God bless, you know, this is America. But, you know, the filtration in planes is superior. I mean, the air quality in airplanes, I mean, that's the science. It's just like when you talk about forced masking in kids. If you actually look at the science and the data, it does not support forced masking. It's all been about virtue signaling and power and control. And so that's why it was a big win yesterday in the federal court.
We're speaking with the Missouri Attorney General, Eric Schmidt. Is there a possibility, do you see there being a possibility that mask mandates come back into play? Because this was kind of the last stand, as I understood it,
yeah,
for Americans.
I do. I think the left is obsessed with this because to them, this was their way of saying they were in charge and that they were doing something. And then there's also the whole virtue signaling, you know, I care more than you kind of stuff that's been happening, too. But I don't think it's going away. I think you still see them fighting back on the very clear evidence that masks don't work, for example, or they're ineffective. They still push back on that point. You see Fauci on TV last week talking about lockdowns. He said the quiet part out loud, which was it was their attempt to get more people vaccinated. Well, that is, you know, again, people can choose to be vaccinated or not be vaccinated, but shutting down businesses, destroying livelihoods, destroying kids' educational futures because you're trying to get some result, that is what authoritarian regimes do, and not in this country. And so, again, I think people, by and large, are waking up. I think some of the reactions you saw on social media yesterday when they made the announcement, people have had enough of this stuff. And so, again, this was one of those last pieces. But I don't think this is in the ash heap of history yet. I think they're going to keep trying, and we got to keep pushing back and win. And these elections will be very important, too, I think, in November to send, you know, we saw school board elections. You know, some people won, which is good, who are opposing these things. I think candidates, this ought to be a very important issue for voters to weigh, which is how outspoken, how out in front, what's their position on these kinds of forced vaccine mandates and forced mask mandates. And I think people have had enough, like I said.
I want to read to you from here locally, a KMOV report out of Webster Groves. The Webster Groves School District announced students and staff at Hickson Middle School will wear masks for the next 2 weeks after a rise in COVID-19 cases. You've been a strong advocate for getting masks off of kids or to, you know, allow this idea of mask choice to take place in schools where parents can make those decisions with their kids or for their kids, obviously based on the age of the student. But according to this KMOV report from April 14th, the Webster Groves School Board previously decided it would temporarily impose a mask mandate if a school's population exceeded a 1.5% positivity rate, which is about 16 cases. The total population of students and staff at Hickson Middle School is 1,094 people. I'm curious about this specific case at a local middle school here where that mask requirement has been put back into play. And for parents who are looking around, it's only at this one school in the school district. How can this mask requirement be put into place at this middle school? And what should parents who are frustrated about this do?
They need to reach out to the school board members. But, you know, I've been made aware of this. We were watching this very closely. I'm not going to tolerate, as the attorney general, you know, these mask mandates going back into place. And so our cease and desist letter that we had sent out made very clear that school districts do not have the authority from the General Assembly. It's never been delegated to them to force masking or, by the way, to force quarantine of healthy kids.
Right.
And that's what we were seeing, right? It was 14 days or 10 days out of school because you had close contact, even though you had no symptoms. I mean, this stuff, again, is nuts. They've never had that kind of authority. So, you know, rest assured, we're not going to let this stand. And this is what I'm talking about. I don't think these mandates are over. I think there's people that are still focused on, you know, having their will exerted and imposed on others, the force that people can make these decisions. So I think what the Webster School Board is on the spot now is this a policy they really want to have? Was this something that they just didn't unwind? But if it is something, obviously, they're moving forward with, it's got my attention, and it should have the attention of parents.
Do local school boards have the authority to say this is the rubric we're going to use to go into mask required, and this is one
No.
we can take? Do school boards on a local level have this authority?
They do not.
Then how come
they do not?
Then how are they doing this?
Well, basically, they had a policy in place that was null and void, right? Essentially, it was not in effect, and so we still have cases outstanding in certain circuits across the state with some school districts to make this abundantly clear, to settle this issue once and for all. By the way, the legislature's in session, and they could further clarify the law. Now, I don't know if they're going to do it. They hear from a lot of school administrators. It'd be good for the legislators to hear from real people because these administrators want to hold on to this perceived authority that they have. They don't have it under state law, which is what the basis of our legal actions have been. And in the case of Webster Groves, which is why, you know, ultimately we're going to be moving forward against them again if this is really the policy that they have or this is just something that was a vestige that they don't intend to act on. But I tend to think, based on what we know in the last 24 hours, this is, you know, intentional, and they don't have the authority under the law to do it. And like I said, I'm not going to hesitate to pull the trigger to go after them. But parents can show up to school board meetings. Parents can contact their legislators. There's a lot of things for people to do to object to this. This is the only instance that we're aware of so far right now, because most school districts, well, all of them have essentially backed away once we started filing litigation. So we've had a lull, And if they're coming back, I mean, we're going to come back at them.
And it's so frustrating to think that if you've, like, I've got kids, if we were in the public school system, I send my kids to Lutheran schools, but if I were in the public school system, we'd probably have kids in at least three different buildings, that only the middle school is going to be the one that's going to quarantine, because if it's as dangerous as they suggest it is, or mask or whatever, like, I've got kids that could be exposed and they'd be everywhere, but you're just going to stick this requirement on the middle school? Doesn't make sense.
Well, and that's why this stuff is not science-based. It's nonsense. You know, this is about somebody, you know, creating an arbitrary number here. These kids are interacting with sleepovers and on sports teams, and this idea that wearing it in middle school and somehow that's shielding people from the spread is ridiculous. And I think all this stuff has been exposed now, you know, as witchcraftery. I mean, it's not a thing, and the science doesn't support it, but they're holding on to it, right? They're holding on to it so they can say, we're going to do this to protect you. And by the way, that's what tyrants have done since the beginning of time, which is to exert their power and claim that they're protecting the public while they take their liberty away.
Yeah, I for one would like to see you make an example out of them, but we'll wait and see what happens next. I want to ask you before I let you go about next week. You've got a very busy week next week. You're going to be back in front of the Supreme Court. Tell me about your advocacy for securing our border, since the administration doesn't seem to have the same interest.
Yeah, I think I was on last week, Annie, to talk about, or the week before, about our Title 42 lawsuit. Missouri was one of three states, with Texas and Louisiana, to file suit on Title 42, which accounts for about 50% of the expulsions of illegal immigrants in this country. So we're about to see a tidal wave of illegal immigration, 18,000 a day. That's what's anticipated if he's successful. So we brought that lawsuit. One lawsuit we were successful on earlier was the Remain in Mexico case. We wanted the Supreme Court on the injunction phase, which essentially President Trump's policy said, if you're seeking asylum, Mexico's the waiting room. You're not going to get released in the interior of the United States, never be seen again. That's what Joe Biden did. We wanted the Supreme Court. We've been fighting with them in the lower courts to actually implement it. The feds have brought that back to the Supreme Court. It's being heard Monday. So the whole kit and caboodle, the whole shooting match is on Monday on the Remain in Mexico policy. We won before. We're hopeful we're going to win again. But as I've said, every state's a border state. All the fentanyl, all the human trafficking, all the drug trafficking doesn't stop in El Paso. It ends up in St. Louis and in Kansas City and in Cape Girardeau and Tipton, Missouri, everywhere. So that's why I've been so interested in pressing this forward. This is a wrong-headed decision. It's a man-made disaster by Joe Biden. And we'll be back in the Supreme Court on that issue Monday. Yeah. Tuesday.
Well, we will be following it for sure and looking forward to following up with you after, hopefully, the good news that you had the last time you were there. We'd like to celebrate that with you also. Thank you for keeping up that fight, and thanks for coming on with us again today. It's great to have you back.
Good to be with you, Annie.
We'll talk to you again soon. The Attorney General for the State of Missouri, that's Eric Schmidt, going back in front of the Supreme Court next week with Texas. Man, Texas and Missouri and Florida. Wish I could put Illinois in that list. But which one of these is not like the other?
Keep the faith. We'll get there.
The faith, or potentially the delusion. I know so many people right now who are running in the state of Illinois who are really, really good options for Illinois voters to get the state on the right track. I do feel actually hopeful for this election, that if we can get just a strong injection of some common sense in the state legislature, in the governor's mansion. I say the governor's mansion, but Pritzker either is in Chicago or in his Wisconsin horse farm. Or you remember when he left the state of Illinois when we were under lockdown?
He went to
Wisconsin. He's going to say, someone's going to take care of the horses. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? How dumb could we possibly be?
The richest politician in the history of the United States doesn't pay somebody to take care of his horses?
J.B. Pritzker is not taking care of horses.
No.
I have a feeling he's not even riding the horses. It's just a feeling. Let's go to break. Ryan Wiggins is going to come back in here and hopefully not talk about that. Lots to come here in the 2 o'clock hour as well. I'm going to talk a little bit more about my week off and what I did and how that all went. Some fun things to talk about. And I'm going to talk with the rest of you. Make sure you come on to the Annie Fry YouTube channel right now and vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Is Trump's endorsement an asset or liability to win for candidates running in the 2022 midterms? I need to know if his endorsement is good for a victory in the midterms. Because certainly the endorsement might be good for a single individual person and their brand. I understand that. I'm more concerned about what's good for the country, not for any of these individual people running. Is it an asset or a liability? We'll talk a little bit about that here around the corner, and we need your votes on the live chat on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.